We greet our friends everywhere with Chapter 7 of Frank Was Always a Lady, the story of Frances Willard. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians and is brought to you by the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.
Woman ever knows the depth of her nature until she has loved a man. Some man good and noble, better than her own life. Every night I say to God, sometime, if it pleases thee, give me the love of one I can trust and care for next to thee. But if this cannot be,
that winter, when Frank was teaching in her second school, Kankakee, her brother Oliver visited her and brought along a friend. Charlie Fowler was a fellow seminarian, studying with Oliver for the Methodist ministry. And he was a man Frank could talk to. Philosophy, religion, art, so many things. She liked Charlie's mind. And then everybody all over the country had something new to talk about. The South had seceded from the North, and the country was at war. Frank was so sure that God wanted her to help, nurse, join the Sanitary Commission, anything at all. But Josiah Willard blocked the way. A lady might be a school teacher, but no daughter of his would set foot in an army camp. No, sir. So, miserably, Frank dragged back to the schoolroom, quitting Kankakee and attempting the Harlem School for the second time. And although she could not forget the war, although the big Harlem boys had grown bigger, somehow the mud did not cling to her shoes quite so much this year.
Say, boy, would it be possible for you to tell me where I might find Miss Frances Willard?
Sure, in there.
Charlie, I didn't expect you till Sunday.
Good afternoon, Frances. I trust my unexpected appearance doesn't interrupt any plans.
Plans for grading papers, that's all.
I rather imagined you'd be pleased with some diversion from this dreary routine. It was a bit difficult for me to get away from the seminary. Exams next week, you know, but I thought you needed a change.
Exams? Poor Charlie.
Well, everything's pretty well mastered. I've been studying right along. In fact, I brought a few books with me today, thinking you might coach me a bit on moral philosophy.
Today? Oh, Charlie, it's spring. Let's go for a walk. It's really spring by the river.
All right, let's.
Let's go.
Can you leave right now?
Why not? I'll just leave my desk like it is. These old papers can wait until tomorrow. I'll stick this flower pot on top of them so they won't blow off. There. All set.
You don't want to leave your desk like that, Frances.
It's all right. They won't blow off.
Well, suppose somebody comes in.
Suppose they do.
Oh, it's a terrible mess.
Titch-titch, isn't that shocking? Miss Willard keeps a sloppy desk. Sure she does. In the spring. Come on, Charlie. We might even see a robin if we hurry. See this wheat, Charlie? It's a special kind. Grows wild down here.
This countryside has charming pastoral quality, doesn't it? In spite of all the mud underfoot. I'm beginning to see why you're so carefree, Frances. Even those pestiferous exams are beginning to slide away from me.
This air must be good for you, Charlie. Before you called me sloppy. Now it's carefree. Thank you.
I didn't call you sloppy. You're good for me. You know that, don't you?
You mean I'm good for you if I hear your moral philosophy lesson.
You know very well what I mean, don't you?
I think so.
I like your conversation, Frances. I admire your spirit and your sparkle. You have beautiful hair. It casts a kind of golden glow over this old prairie.
Why, Charlie.
We'd make a good team, Frances. I think I love you. I'd like to ask you to marry me.
I'd like you to.
You will?
Of course I will, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
this is the way things ought to be. Mary and your mother out in the kitchen making caramel. And you...
murdering Stephen Foster on this poor old melodeon. You have very humble tastes, Father.
I'm just a humble, ordinary Chicago businessman and ex-farmer. Pretty conventional in my thinking, and that's why...
You're glad your oldest daughter is home under your roof. Oh, please, Father, not again.
Won't you ever understand the good feeling it gives a father to provide for his children?
I think you're happier about my marrying Charlie Fowler than I am, Father.
I hope not.
Well, happier about my dowry than he is.
I hope so. Yes, this is the way it should be. You home, getting ready for your wedding. I can rest easy now, Frank, knowing that you have a good man to take care of you.
Father, sometimes you talk like I was a mentally defective, deaf and dumb mute that needed constant parental supervision.
Any woman needs
a man. Well, I'm not completely dependent yet. Not on you, nor Charlie Fowler either. I still have some money of my own in the bank. I may be at home this winter, waiting for my future protector to claim his dowry from my hovering parent. But I'm still Frank Willard. I still think for myself. And I expect I always will. More fudge, Charlie?
No, thanks.
I thought you liked my chocolate fudge.
I do, but I don't care for any now.
If you don't like my cooking any better than that, you're going to be a very thin man after you get married. What's wrong, Charlie?
Nothing. Exams, I guess. Midwinter finals are scheduled to begin in 2 weeks.
Charlie, I know you too well. Exams don't make you nervous. What's wrong? Me?
Partly, yes.
Then you'd better tell me.
Probably I had. It isn't anything that you've done, Frank.
Oh, I'm glad.
It's rather what you might do.
What do you mean?
Frank, ever since you've known me, I've been in a state of preparation for the Methodist ministry. My heart has been dedicated to this thing only. Recently, I've experienced a radical upheaval in my thinking.
You're quitting seminary?
Not at all. I've merely changed directions, Frank. Frank, I've put off telling you for a month. This is what is on my mind. I feel that God is calling me to the mission field.
A missionary?
To China.
Missionary to China?
I was concerned about your reaction.
Charlie, this doesn't make sense. You're brilliant. You're getting the best theological education in the country. Why do you want to go to the mission field?
Frank, I am disappointed in you.
No, but wait a minute, Charlie. I know you. You're not suited to it. Missionaries live under terrible conditions. Disease, bad housing, the wrong kind of food, and not enough of that. Charlie, are you sure?
Frank, I'd prayed. I'd hoped that it was not a comfortable Methodist parsonage you were marrying.
But, Charlie, this is... well, I had expected. Why, Charlie?
I told you, Frank. There's only one reason. I know God is calling me.
But it doesn't make sense. God wants a different kind of person over there. Not you or me.
How do you know, Frank? Is that your answer?
I didn't think you'd asked me anything.
Of course I did. Will you go?
To China? I don't know, Charlie.
Frank, don't say that.
I don't know. China?
Do you love me enough?
Don't, Charlie. Give me time to think.
Take all the time you need.
Not here. Not with you. I have to be alone. I have to pray about this, Charlie. Charlie. China. I just don't know. God, show me the right way around this terrible thing. I asked you to use me and the mind that was your gift to me in the first place. But I don't want to go to China. Leave Mother and Father and Oliver and Mary here and go over there? But there's Charlie. I said, use me, God. I didn't ask to be tormented. China and Charlie. Do you love me enough, he said. Useful in China with Charlie. Yes, God, I love him enough. And you to do it? I'll go to China.
Well, Frank, I came over tonight because I had to know. You must have an answer for me.
I have an answer, Charlie. I've been tortured.
Poor Frank.
I must have prayed all night, or most of it.
Your answer, Frank?
I never thought I'd be able to say it. Yes, Charlie, I'll go to China with you.
You love me enough.
Yes.
You've weighed your love against the probable hazards and difficulties?
Yes.
You understand the income will always be limited. You'll be separated from your family here.
Charlie, I've fought all those things. I'll go.
Excellent. That's all I wanted to know.
Oh, Charlie, I hope I never have to fight through anything so awful again. I'm exhausted.
I had to know if you would do it. Now I know, and that's all that matters.
Yes, Charlie. I'd go anywhere with you.
Frank, that's all I need to know.
You keep saying that. Aren't you sure yet?
I'm very sure. You've made me a very happy man. I'm entirely satisfied now that our marriage is based on a firm foundation. I had to know that you would put my will first. There, Frank, don't cry now. It's all over. There's really nothing to cry about. It was all a kind of test, that's all.
A test?
An examination, if you will. I wanted to be absolutely positive that you loved me enough to do what I decided was best. You did? Now, I'm sure that this is the way it will be in our life together.
What do you mean?
Well, without establishing that kind of a relationship, I couldn't have married you.
You aren't going to China?
No, Frank. Your arguments were so correct. I'm not the man for rice paddies and malaria. It was just my way of testing you.
You mean I don't have to...
No, you'll have your comfortable
parsonage. You're cruel!
Not at all.
You tortured me. Last night was hell. All because you had to be sure you were boss.
Frank, you have a good deal of spirit for a woman. I had to be sure that I could tame that.
You domineering dictator. You'll never tame me.
I have tamed you. Or else I could never have considered marrying you.
Then don't marry me.
You're a stubborn, determined woman. You need somebody to keep you in line.
Well, you won't. You'll never get another chance.
Now, Frank.
We're through.
You don't know what you're saying. You're upset.
China. I wouldn't go as far as Cincinnati with you. I would marry you, Charlie Fowler, if you were the last man this side of China.
And so we conclude Chapter 7 of Frank Was Always a Lady, the story of Frances Willard. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians, which come to you transcribed from the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.